Find your place. We're in James chapter 5, and I'm looking at the time. It's about quarter of right now, and I know I am not going to get through this lesson. So we'll just cut her in two, amen, and we'll get as far as we can get. And I want to go through the verses on these. It's so important. There are times when you do a Bible study, and you can go through it, but boy, I really want to look up each verse on this one. It's important, amen. Some of you know these verses, but like I said, some of you, they're new to you. So would you stand with me? We're in James chapter 5, and we're just going to read one verse tonight, just one verse, and that's going to be verse number 1 of James chapter 5. As we look at the subject of biblical counsel about money. Biblical counsel about money. So James chapter 5, verse 1, let's read it together. Ready? Begin. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Father, bless your word to our hearts now as we tackle this subject of money. Lord, give us wisdom from on high, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Yes.
Is there a little bit of confusion as to, is she in the hospital?
I don't believe she is.
She went through a gun fair chain and she was.
Okay.
Does anybody know for sure? I know she's not in Jackson.
No, I don't. Laura Bortel brought her home. Laura Bortel brought her home after the doctor visit, so that's incorrect. That's incorrect. Okay, James chapter 5, and in your introduction there, we have just note here, as James begins the final chapter of his epistle, for the third time, blank line there, for the third time, the Holy Ghost directs him to the subject of riches. And so let's go back, you're there in James, go back to James chapter 1 verse 10. James chapter 1, verse 10, this is the first time that the Holy Ghost, and by the way, when we say that, amen, we mean this. According to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And that means that this book is not just the writings of Peter or John or Paul or Joshua, amen. They're the writings of God, amen. And 2 Peter 1:21 puts it this way. It says, "For holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And so God told those writers what to write, and all God's people said, and it was the Holy Ghost of God. And so he moved James 1:10. There, look at verse 9. It says, "Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low." And so the first thing we see as James references riches or money is the rejoicing of the humbling of the man of riches. Let me say this at the outset, please. It is not a sin to have wealth. It is not a sin to have wealth. Many, many of the great Old Testament characters, I think right away of Abraham, I think of Isaac, amen, think of Jacob, amen, think of Job, had wealth and did well. So please, it is not a sin to have wealth. So, but the rejoicing of the humbling of man of riches. Remember what Jesus said. He said, it's harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Why was that? He was talking about the man who trusts in his riches. And his riches are his God. Amen. See, riches just, we have to control our riches and not let our riches control us. Amen. And so there's the rejoicing of the humbling of the man of riches. Why? Why is there that rejoicing? Because it seems like in this world that those folks are not very humble most of the time. Well, they think they can buy and sell the world. Amen. Remember hearing the story of Rockefeller when he had a sick child, and Brother Merrill, he said, "I'd give every dime that I had if I could get my child well." Amen. So there's the rejoicing over the humbling of the man of riches. And then if you move over just a page probably in your Bible there, James chapter 2, we see verses 1 through 4. We've looked at them. Amen. "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons." Boy, I'll tell you what, that will kill God's blessing on a church. And it says there in verse 2, "For if there come unto the assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool, are ye not then partial in yourselves?" So what's the second mention about riches? It's the refutation. The refutation or the refuting of superior treatment of a man of riches. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope in our church, I believe God thinks this way. I, as your pastor, want to think this way. I hope if two people come in, one is dressed well and right and one is dressed terrible, that we treat them just the same. Treat them just the same. Amen. And you never know. There's a lot of apostates that wear three-piece suits. And there's a lot of candidates for salvation who have messy hair. Uncle Joe. Never mind. Amen. Sorry about that. I'm sorry. Amen. I'm sorry about that, Uncle Joe. Number one. Amen. The warnings about money. Uncle Joe's not a candidate for salvation. He's already saved. Amen. Warnings about money. Number one. Warnings about money. Let's go through these. Amen. Go in your Bible to Deuteronomy. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Boy, if you can't have fun with your family, I don't know who you can have fun with. Amen. And that's what we are. We're the family of God. Amen. Warnings about money. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, and we'll just see how far we get tonight as we go through these. What's the first warning about money? Money can cause us to, each one of these is money can cause us to. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 10. And it says, "And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." There's another passage where it calls Egypt the iron furnace. That God delivered them out of that. So, number one, money can cause us to forget God. Forget God? Cause us to forget God. Why? Listen, and I'm just trying to give you the thinking about folks that are rich. They don't need God. That's exactly right. I've got a quote in my Bible, and I put it right next to Luke chapter 12, which is the parable of the rich fool. Amen. And this is certainly the quote of a rich fool. It says this, "It's a management issue. Religion is not very efficient. There's a lot more I could be doing on a Sunday morning." You know who said that? Bill Gates. One of the richest men in the world. I'm here to tell you, he forgot God. He forgot God. He forgot that it is God that giveth thee power to get wealth. Amen. And so riches, there's a warning about money. Money can cause us to forget God. Go over to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. A very familiar story if you know your Bible. If you're just new to your Bible, amen. If you can't find Kings right away, look on somebody who can, amen. And find it there, 2 Kings chapter 5. We know this as the passage, of course, about Naaman, amen. And old Naaman didn't want to dip in that dirty Jordan 7 times, amen. And so many times we don't want to do things the way God says, but it always works out better when we do, amen. And verse 20 of 2 Kings chapter 5, I'm going to read quickly, amen. "But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, Behold, my master hath spared Naaman this Syrian in not receiving at his hand that which he brought." You remember what he brought? He brought an offering. Amen. "But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him." So Gehazi followed Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, "Is all well?" And he said, "All is well. My master hath sent me." Is that true? No. "Saying, Behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men, the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and 2 changes of garments." Was that true? No. And Naaman said, "Be content, take 2 talents." And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of raiments and laid them upon 2 of his servants, and they bare before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them for their hand and bestowed them in the house. And he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, "Whence comest thou, Gehazi?" And he said, "Thy servant went no whither." Was that true? This is a bad scene here. And he said unto him, "Went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee?" See, the old prophet, God had revealed to him exactly what happened. He said, "Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy, therefore, that Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever." And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. You know what? Money can cause us to act dishonestly. Money can cause us to act dishonestly. People can go after that almighty dollar. I remember Brother Hugh telling me the story, Brother Hugh, years ago, how you had to go to court. You got called into court. And Brother Hugh wasn't bragging. He wasn't. But he had an opportunity where he could have slipped out. He could have said something that wasn't true. And nobody but him and God would have known. But he promised God that he'd never, never lie to save his own skin. And he didn't, and God worked it out anyway, didn't he, Brother Hugh? Amen. In his way and in his plan. But boy, money can cause us to act dishonestly. I'll never forget what my pastor, Marty Schott, said so many times, and it can be applied in so, definitely applies in church life. When you talk about money, people get funny. Amen? It's a true statement. Amen. And boy, people, you know what? Let's never forget Judas sold the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces, just 30 little pieces. Amen. So, warnings about money. Money can cause us to forget God. Money can cause us to act dishonestly. Go to Luke chapter 12. We were just talking about it. Amen. Go to Luke chapter 12. Familiar portion of Scripture here. We have the parable of the rich fool. The parable of the rich fool. And I'm going to begin reading there in verse number 15. And read quickly here. It said, "And he said unto them," this is Jesus speaking here, "Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns, and I will build greater there. Will I bestow all my fruits and my good..." Boy, there's a lot of personal pronouns in here. My friend Charles Keene said he had the big eye problem. And it wasn't this. It was this, amen. And he said, "And I will say unto my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." Number 3. Warnings about money. Money can cause us to forget God. Money can cause us to act dishonestly. Money can cause us to be overcome with covetousness. Covetousness. By the way, you want to put down a cross reference there? Write down Colossians 3:5. Colossians 3:5. You know what it says about covetousness, Brother Lowell? It says covetousness, which is idolatry. We don't like to think about it that way. We like to think about it as our little castle and our little kingdom of having things. And boy, but I'll tell you what, if we're not careful, I'm giving you some warnings, amen. Warning about money is it can cause us, we can be overcome with covetousness. I heard a great definition of covetousness, the itch for more. The itch for more. Always got to have more. Always got to have more. It's never enough. Covetous. I'll finish with this here, and we'll finish up the warnings, and then next week we'll get into the wisdom about money. But number four, go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. This is probably the most misquoted passage on money. 1 Timothy chapter 6, towards the back of your Bible. You go past the gas, electric, and phone company, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, amen. Gas, electric, and phone company. And then you start to get into the T's, amen. You got 1 Thessalonians, and then 2 Thessalonians, and then 1 Timothy, amen. And then Titus, amen. But if you get to Titus, you went too far. Go back, amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. Oh boy, I tell you what, you can really go all the way back to verse 6 is really where the whole exposition starts. It says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain," and all God's people said, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For money is the root of all evil." Is that what your Bible says? No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. It says the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The last point there underneath number one, warnings about money. Money can cause us to forget God. Money can cause us to act dishonestly. Money can cause us to become overcome with covetousness. Money can cause us to have many sorrows by loving it. Again, nothing wrong with having money. When I think of two people in America that did extremely well financially, Colgate, Christian man giving almost 90% of his income to God's work. And JCPenney. JCPenney is kicking somebody around heaven right now. I can tell you that right now about what's going on at his company. Bending that way, I don't even want to get into it, amen. But JCPenney, I got a great book in my office called 50 Years with the Golden Rule. 50 years. Listen, money wasn't a sin. Money's not a sin. It's loving money. What it brings power and prestige and all those things. Listen, we ought to love the God that provides us with wealth. Amen. So those tonight is some warnings about money. Amen. We'll continue next week. We'll look at wisdom about money and hopefully words about money. But if not, we'll certainly look at wisdom about money next week. So hang on to your papers. Amen. Don't get rid of them. Some of you already got the answers. You could teach the lesson next week. Amen. Father, we love you. Thank you for your blessings unto us. Thank you for your goodness. We pray that you'd bless us, Lord, in this stewardship of money. Lord, help us to be careful. Lord, money can overtake us. Lord, help us to control our money and not our money to control us. Lord, help us to put you first in our lives. Lord, I think of the tithe is the Lord's. Lord, you so desire to get the gospel out through worldwide missions. And Lord, I think of special offerings that we take in our church to help different projects. And Lord, help us. To control our money. Help us to be good stewards, Father. Help us to heed these warnings about money. Help us not to forget you when you bless us with money. Help us not to act dishonestly to get money. Lord, help us to not be overcome with covetousness because of money. And Lord, help us to beware of the many sorrows that accompany money. We love you. Thank you for all that you give. In Jesus' name. How about page 532, ladies?